flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. We'll go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome, man. It's always good to be with you guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Mark, right off the bat, nothing surprised you in the cowboy world, but, you know, Mike McCarthy, Bobby and I were doing the show last week, and, you know, it came out that, you know, they had denied him permission to talk to the Bears, and so we're just talking about it off the air. That must mean that, you know, they got something going, maybe a longer-term deal with Mike and Jerry Jones, and then yesterday, you know, kind of cutting it all loose, and now man, Jerry's going to enjoy this. He might have a couple weeks in the limelight where, man, all that light's going to be shined on him and the Cowboys. But your thoughts on Mike McCarthy as a coach? Because you've covered this game a long time, and he's coached a long time as a head coach with both the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a lot of success, you know, and ultimately, he's a damn good coach. And, you know, for the Cowboys, 5 years, he's 49 and 35 or something like that. I mean, he had three back-to-back-to-back seasons, three in a row of winning 12 games. Dak Prescott played a year ago at an MVP level, lost out the MVP at the end of the season. So, you know, you look at all the success, the accomplishments and all those things, and you say that the guy's a damn good coach. And, you know, and winning games anytime is difficult, but Jerry's just a piece of work now. I mean, you 30 years since their last championship. And as long as Jerry continues to do Jerry things, it doesn't matter who you get as a coach. You're just not going to win with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you can sit there and say, man, they got money and they got all the accolades and they're the Dallas Cowboys and there's America's team. And, you know, I do a daily television show and you got to talk about the Cowboys. And all that stuff is true, man. It's all 100% true. You got to. But the bottom line is Jerry will never empower his head coach. He will never empower the guy. Therefore, they will never win championships because their organizational structure is so screwed up. And, you know, I've told you guys this before. Somebody within the New Orleans organization told me, years ago, when I was doing a game out there, that the problem with the New Orleans Saints is Sean Payton left and the fear left right out of the building with him. And that's part of the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. You don't the head coach because the head coach isn't empowered.
That is a lot true. I'll be honest with you, Mark. I think the one thing, Sean, like him or dislike him, man, he put the fear of God in you. You know, and he was going to challenge you every step of the way. Didn't matter if you were a star player or you're the 53rd guy. He was going to challenge you. And, man, Mark Ingram's got some great stories about, you know, him and Sean Payton. Now, he fumbled the ball one time. Boy, and Sean really got on him, but good. Last night I thought about this. When you watch the Rams play in Minnesota, basically what Chris Shula did was steal the exact same game plan that Aaron Glenn drew up in Detroit. Get after Sam Darnold. He's not going anywhere. Put a lot of pressure on him. And at their offensive line, if they had Darisaw, it'd be different at the left tackle, but they don't. And boy, you saw them really get after him. And it took away the piece that had been kind of hidden, their ability to run the football. I know you and I have talked about this so many times. Look who's still standing. The Rams, underrated for what they can do running the football. You look at Philly. Does any team run it better? You know, you look at Detroit, their offensive line, their ability to run the football and control the clock. Now, one of the things with the Commanders, you got to throw Jaden Daniels in the fact that, you know, he's part of the running group too. You know, you can't take that off the board. I know this is kind of repeating things, but I really believe that that part of the game has to be there for you to get to the big show. You got to run the football and you got to stop the run. It's the nuts and bolts of how football was built, but it still stands today, no matter how all the other periphery stuff change.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, you're preaching to the choir. Let me just tell you, you know what travels? Physicality travels. You will always be in a game when you can physically whoop your opponent. And, you know, the Eagles, I mean, they didn't throw the ball exceptionally well. They were stagnant on the offensive side of the ball. But guess what? Defensively, they set the tone, man. They were knocking dudes out. So, I mean, that always travels. That always works. That will always be the right answer. When you have physicality, you can win football games. And, you know, from a game planning standpoint, adjustments and understanding what you're up against. Look what the Rams did. Man, the Rams had answers for their quarterback every time they dropped back. Whether they booted him out and they threw a touchdown to Kyron Williams, whether they, you know, had the deep curls, you know, when they were running curl flat combinations and a mirror route combination, whether they had, you know, a 5-man blitz, they had it picked up, a 6-man blitz, they had it picked up. If they brought an extra dude, a 7-man guy, like the ball was out quickly. They had an answer. When they brought a blitzer, they had somebody that vacated, that ran around into that vacated spot. They had answers. And Minnesota had a straight drop back game where they were deep drops and deep route combinations that they could, that weren't getting open where they were holding the ball. And you look at that from a coaching standpoint, and the mentor in Sean McVay took the mentee, the student, to school last night. I mean, just absolutely took him to school and out-coached, you know, Kevin O'Connell in a big way. And, you know, Sam Darnold, unfortunately, looked like garbage and didn't play well. But a lot of that goes to coaching. I always say this, man. You give up 7, 8, 9 sacks in a game, yeah, your quarterback struggled. And, yeah, your offensive line struggled. But the guy in charge, the guy who called those plays to me, is the guy who struggled the most. Like, that is on coaching. You give up 9 sacks, and your coaching sucked that particular night.
Our Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, looking ahead to the divisional round, the Bills and the Ravens, I think, is what everyone's most excited for. And talking about the run game that Mike had brought up earlier, I mean, the Bills and the Ravens both ran over the teams that they played in the wild card round, Buffalo going for 210 rushing yards against Denver. But the attempts is also something that I wanted to highlight. 44 rushing attempts for the Bills. We always talk with you about this, Mark, that, you know, you have to want to run the football. You have to just stay true to it, even if it's not working early on. 44 rushing attempts for the Bills, 210 yards. James Cook was excellent in that game against Denver. The Ravens, against their AFC North rival and their hated rival, Pittsburgh Steelers, a very proud franchise, ran the ball 50 times in that game for 299 yards. And the only reason it wasn't 300, Mark, Lamar Jackson kneeled at the end of the game for minus 1 yard. These two teams love to run the football. They know what wins in, you know, January. And I know that Kansas City's sitting on the other side. They're going to be playing Houston in the divisional round. But, man, I can't wait for this Bills-Ravens matchup.
I can't either. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, ultimately, I think if the Ravens are able to stay true to what they are and who they are, then I don't think there's anybody in the league that can beat them. That running game is so damn good. They are so physical. They've got a 310-pound fullback that used to play, you know, defensive line. They're big. They're physical. They got a 380-pound guard. I mean, they lean on people. And the interesting part of this matchup to me is the Bills play more dime and nickel personnel than anybody on the planet. And they did it against the Broncos. And you go back to that Broncos game and the lack of understanding, the lack of an ability to create big-time runs by the Denver Broncos was, dare I say, flat-out embarrassing. Like, I kept thinking back to my time and thinking back to Mike Shanahan. And if somebody tried to play us in small personnel, in nickel or dime, with an extra DB and took a linebacker out, and we're in two tight formations, or we're in 21 personnel, two backs and one tight end, and they tried to play us that way, Mike Shanahan would have turned 18 shades of red, and he'd have been cussing on the sideline. Like, the level of disrespect these blankety blanks think they can line up in nickel or line up in dime. And, I mean, he'd go, oh, we're going to shove it up their ass. You know, I mean, that's like, and I'm watching the Broncos going, boy, you guys are getting what you want, and they can't run it 2 inches.
Nope.
And it's embarrassing. It's sad. And then I hear people talk about analytics like, well, the win percentage on blocks by ESPN Analytics said, or so-and-so Analytics said, that the Broncos, man, I don't want to hear that garbage. Who's grading that? How do you determine, some dude on the internet determines whether that guy won the block or not? You don't even know what the freaking assignment is. Stop it. You can miss me with that crap.
One of the things, Mark, Saturday in the first game that really surprised me, Bobby and I kind of texting one another, was the physicality of the Houston Texans. They didn't finish the season like that. They sort of limped into the playoffs. Man, did they take it to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. And you talked about knockouts. Man, it was a knockout punch by the Texans defensively. And what it meant to bring Joe Mixon to the lineup for them on offense. That C.J. Stroud, he made a few plays with his legs, and he made a few downfield plays. But, man, Joe Mixon, and he's playing behind a lousy offensive line and gaining that yardage. But it was the Texans' defense that really took it to San Diego and basically beat them at their own game.
They certainly did. I mean, I did not. That was the one game I had wrong, because I thought that the Chargers lean on them. You know, when they got the ball down there and they only scored, you know, they scored 6 points right off the bat on two field goals, but they couldn't punch it in the end zone. But that gave the Texans a lot of confidence. And then just Will Anderson on one edge, Danielle Hunter on the other edge, they just absolutely defensively crushed the Chargers. And ultimately, you know, you look at the lack of weapons, and I know this is the first year in a new system and all that stuff, but hey, listen, man, I love McConkey. I think he's a great player, but that dude shouldn't be getting 14 targets a game. Sorry. Like, you need some other weapons. And then you got two tight ends that are playing, you know, one's a defensive lineman, one plays defensive line for you. The other guy is a former defensive lineman in Fisk. So if Fisk is 285 and the other dude, Matlock, is 310, and, like, there's not a whole lot of threat of throwing the football when those two guys are your tight end. So they need some more weapons for the quarterback. And listen, man, you know, everybody's bagging on Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert is an outstanding young quarterback, there is no question. And you know what? You go back through the annals of history, Peyton Manning used to get eviscerated come playoff time because his playoff record was so bad. But they're going to continue to grow. That offense will continue to grow. They'll get more weapons on that offense. They're going to be a formidable opponent come the following years. But that was a physical butt whipping, man. It was, and for me, I hate being wrong, but I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the way the Texans played, so kudos to them.
5 of the 6 games this past weekend, Mark, were blowouts, but the one great game, Sunday Night Football, and the local flavor, everyone down here is rooting for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and also kind of the spice added to it that Washington, I mean, I didn't even realize this until it happened. Their playoff win against Tampa Bay on Sunday was the first time since 2006, the 2005 postseason. It was January 7th, 2006 was the last time that they had won a playoff game. funny enough, also in Tampa Bay. So Washington and Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn as well, the way that they're kind of ahead of schedule, I think everything from here on out is gravy for them. And look, they're going to Detroit, and it's the best team in the NFC. You know, maybe they get blown out, but at the same time, the hope that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn have brought to Washington's franchise, it's been very fun to see.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been awesome. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, is incredible. And you know, you think about where he sits right now as a rookie quarterback. Well, they're just saying, hey, man, go win this game for us. And then Dan Quinn. Like, you know, it irritates me when I get, you know, my co-hosts and everybody else is like, oh, you got to get yourself a young offensive, you know, coordinator, somebody in their 30s, somebody can relate to today's players. Give me a freaking break. You need to communicate and relate to your players, and you're either authentic or you're not. And Dan Quinn is one of the most authentic, most relatable, most connected dudes I know, and he will also fire you in a heartbeat if you don't adhere to the principles that he's preaching. If you're not part of the organization, if you're not totally sold out for what we're doing, he'll cut you in a heartbeat. And then think about this. A defensive coach, normally a defensive coach's default mechanism is to protect my defense. Got to protect my defense at all costs. What does Dan Quinn do? Nope. My young quarterback is the best player on my team. And guess what? I'm going to let that dude play. I'm going to lean on that guy. 5 fourth downs, let's go for all 5 of them. Hey, put my defense out there in the ringer. I know my defense is going to struggle. We're just going to outscore people. Like Dan Quinn, by the way, you know, Dallas Cowboys are looking for a head coach right now. Remember when Dan Quinn was their defensive coordinator and we're in 12 games a year? Oh, interesting. So do I, Jerry. Anyhow, I digress. Dan Quinn is in his 50s and is one of the most connected coaches in football. So be careful about just going after the, oh, the guy's a genius. He's a young offensive stud coordinator. He's young. He'll relate to players. The age has nothing to do with your relatability and how connected you can be to your players.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on and your insights, buddy. Take care. And, man, listen, I get to watch you every morning, so it's good. Working at nights, that's a plus to that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, my friend. Take care of yourself.
All righty.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.